So when I say this is my new thing is jumping right into the word. It's like going to the gym and you spend an hour stretching.
Yeah. We ain't doing it.
Come on, talk back to me. And you spend an hour stretching because you don't want to work out. And so you stretch because, you know, you want to get loose, but then, you know, you just feel like stretching because you really don't want to do this cardio, or you don't want to do this workout. So sometimes we treat praise and worship like stretching. Yeah, okay, y'all want to talk back to me. We treat it like stretching, and we don't understand what it's for. And when you don't understand what something's for, abuse is inevitable. Abuse is abnormal use. And so praise and worship is not stretching. Praise and worship is designed to break up some things so that when the word comes, the word can fall into the good soil of your heart. And so this is why we enter into praise and worship before the word comes. So now that we've had praise and worship, I want to jump into the word. And I want to take you to Matthew 25. I want to get it for myself. And it's a very familiar passage. Matthew 25, let's pick it up at verse 14. Matthew 25 is so juicy that I could spend a lot of time there. But I really want to talk about a specific story and narrative that really deals with how God uses strategy to win. How God uses strategy to win. A strategy is a master plan. It is your vision on paper of how you're going to accomplish your vision. Most of us pray, but we don't plan. And then when our prayers don't come to fruition, we get mad with God. We do this because oftentimes we feel like we don't have what we need to make happen what needs to happen. And I want to show you tonight that you already got it. The problem is you're not using it. Y'all have my car ready in the back. So you already have it. The problem is you're not using it. And when we dive into Matthew 25 and we pick it up in the 25th chapter, what we're picking up in verse 14 is Jesus trying to express what the kingdom of God is like. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country. I need you to, if I can, just give you a few caveats about this. In scripture, there's the kingdom of God and there's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is how he does things. The kingdom of heaven is where he does it from. And so he's expressing here how it operates in heaven. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. He produced something equal to what he got. And likewise, he that had received 2 also gained another 2. He produced something equal to what he had. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and his Lord's money, and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. And so he that had received 1 went and digged it. We know that. And the Bible says, and so After a long time, the Lord of the servants comes and reckons with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought the other five, saying, Lord, I delivered unto you five. Behold, I've gained beside these five more talents. And his Lord said unto him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. I want you to highlight that word ruler. We're going to get back to it in a second. Just put a pin in it. Put a pin in it. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, I delivered unto me two talents. You delivered unto me two talents. Behold, I've gained two other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not straw. And I was afraid, and I was afraid, and I was afraid, and I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the earth. And lo, thou hast that is thine. I'm going to give you back what I hid. The Bible says, his Lord answered him and said, this is a Christian cuss out right here. You wicked and slothful servant. That's a Christian cuss out. You knew that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not straw. Why did you do this? You could have put your money, you could have put this money to the exchangers. And then at my coming, I could have received my interest. So he took from him what he gave him. And he gave it to the one which had 10. The Bible says, verse 29, for unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And the Bible says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. That's harsh. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. that's rough. I've read this text a million times. I preached it not frequently, but certainly enough to understand the concept. And I want to drill down on the rough part of it, because what I've come to notice is that when it comes to strategy, we don't like the rough part. We are accustomed to hearing that everything is going to be all right, that the best is yet to come, that, God's going to bless you. And all those things are true in their rightful places and perspectives based upon God's timing in our lives. But there's going to be some rough parts.
Right.
And when you are preparing to win, you are preparing to win based on your vision. And if I could extrapolate from this, that each man had a vision for what he had. This is why they went and did what they did with what the master gave them. Because they already had a vision before they got it. What's your vision? What's your vision? Because I can tell you that you don't get a vision after you get it. You get a vision before you get it. And God blesses you or gives to you based on your vision. Uh, They were given talents based on their several ability. They were given talent based on their respective visions. They were given talent based on what the master believed that they can do. They were given talent based on their plan. If you don't have a plan, then God doesn't have anything specific to direct you in. I'm going to say that again. If you don't have a plan, then God doesn't have anything specific to direct you in. Proverbs 16:1 says this. I'm just going to lay out some things for you before we dig in. It says, to man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. God leaves the planning up to the heart of the person. God will not make a plan for you. What God does is he provides the explanation as to how it's going to get done.
That's good.
Thus, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who traveled in a far country. Lord have mercy. So the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man who traveled to a far country. The man goes somewhere else and finds people to give his stuff to.
Come on.
Come on, y'all. We're in Bible study. So if the kingdom of heaven is like a man that goes to a far country and finds servants to give his goods to, then God is saying, that's how it is up here.
Yeah.
I'm looking for somebody to give my stuff to.
Yeah.
But I only want to give my stuff to somebody who's got a plan. Y'all are too quiet. It's okay. We're in Bible study. You can be quiet. It's okay. So, what's your vision? What's your plan? What you going to do with what God gives you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. These three men all had a plan. That's why they all got something. They all got something from the master. You cannot equate what each man gave to the heart of the master. The heart of the master suggests that I'm going to give it to you.
Right.
I'm just going to give it to you based on your vision.
That's good.
So you're saying, God, why can't you give me more? Because your vision's small.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm going to leave that one alone. I'm going to leave that one alone because y'all looking at me like I got five heads right now. So God leaves the planning up to the heart of the person, but he will provide the explanation as to how the vision will be accomplished. Okay, so let's have Bible study. Let's talk about it. Jeremiah comes along and says in Jeremiah 29, I know the plans that I think towards you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. That's where it says to bring you to the expected end. That's to give you a hope and the future. So these are my thoughts toward you. Lord have mercy. So we conflate God's thoughts with a plan.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm preaching about a shell. So the Bible says in the beginning was the word.
Yeah.
Come on. That word there in Greek is logos. L-O-G-O-S. So in the New Testament, there are two definitions of his word, logos and rhema. Logos is the expression of his thought. So in the beginning, this was what God was thinking. In the beginning, this was his strategy. In the beginning, this was his vision. All right, rhema word is when what he is thinking comes into our lives and manifests through our actions. It has now become a living word. Rhema means living. So how can I take what he's thinking and make it rhema? So I have to know what he's thinking. Isaiah says that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So the first thing to understand about his thinking is that he don't think like me.
Come on.
All right.
Come on.
God doesn't think like I think.
Right.
The reason he doesn't think like I think is because my thoughts are finite and muddied by my experiences. Yes. Oh, don't go there, Phillips. Don't go there. So my thinking can be enlarged by gaining the mind of Christ. So how do I gain the mind of Christ? I have to stop thinking it is robbery.
Yes.
To take the form of what God wants me to do. Paul said in Philippians that we can get the mind of Christ, but the way we do that is to think like him. And the way we think like him is to not think it is robbery to do what God asks.
Come on.
Oh, y'all are just too. Come on, come on. So you got this strategy. Yeah. You want to win, but do you want to win God's way?
Come on.
So as I drill down on the heart part of this text, which is the servant who is being cast into outer darkness.
Yeah.
That's harsh. I promise you, I went to God and was like, dog, I mean, did you have to do the brother like that? He gave you back your stuff. He didn't steal it.
Right.
He didn't steal it.
Right.
In our eyes, he didn't steal it. He hid it. And the Lord said, you wicked. He cussed him out in the Christian way. You would have had more colorful words. But he said, you wicked and slothful servant. How you going to take my stuff and hit it? You could have at least gave it to the exchanges. I got some interest off of DAG.
Right. Wow.
So he gave it. When he got it back, he said, I'm going to take yours and I'm going to give it to the one that's productive. So that seems harsh. Okay, here's why God did it. We know the what. Here's why. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is the incorruptible seed. The Word is how God does everything. So God won't give you the plan, but he will give you the means by which he's going to accomplish it, which is his word. Everything gets accomplished through God's word.
That's good. That's
Stay
good.
With me. I'm just in the beginning of it. So when you waste his word, you're wasting his seed. In the Old Testament, there was a man who raped a woman, and it's graphic, it's horrible. And he raped the woman, and then he had intercourse with her, and then in the intercourse, when he got to the place of the apex of it all, he pulled out, and it all spilled on the floor, and God killed him. Okay, you don't talk about it. And God killed him. Now, the act that he did before that was horrible.
Come on,
real talk.
Come on.
Horrible. But God didn't kill him for that. He killed him because he wasted the seed.
That's good.
So seed to God is really important. Because in every seed is the possibility of a nation. And every seed is a possibility of the kingdom. Because the kingdom is seed time harvest. Lord have mercy. And so the seed to God is how the kingdom is set up and built. That if a seed hits the earth and die, it's going to bring something forth. But it's not just going to bring forth one thing. It's going to bring forth the capacity of perpetual harvest. In other words, if I had an acorn in here in my hand right now, that acorn is a seed. So seed looks different, but if I had an acorn, it's a seed, and that seed is going to produce after its kind. And in the acorn is an oak tree. But in the oak tree is a farce.
Come on!
You got to say what? So what God is after is the farce. and he put the forest in the acorn. Come on, somebody talk back to me. And when you hit the acorn, you hit the forest. So you hid the possibility of shelter for a whole lot of people. And a whole lot of animals. When you hid the acorn, you hid oxygen. When you hid the acorn, you hid syrup. When you hid the acorn, you hid paper.
Come on!
Hiding it doesn't allow you to have the revelation of what's really in it. So what you hide? You got something and you're hiding it. Why? You're afraid. You're afraid. So when we drill down on the why, what I'm drilling down then on is another proverb that says, where there is no vision.
Yes, sir.
I thought we were in Bible study. I thought we were in Bible study. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Okay? So the word perish there in Proverbs 29, I believe, is 26? It cast off all restraint. They run wild. So perish is not physical death and dying. It just means that they're drifting aimlessly through life. A drifter is dangerous. If you're driving in your car and you come up on a drifter, they drunk. Oh, y'all, we'll talk back to me. Where are you going?
Right.
And if you don't know where you're going, you could hurt somebody. So that's why the linking of the word perish in old King James language is there and got lost in translation. But what it means is that they're drifting aimlessly and then they cast off all restraint. So then now that they have no restraint on who they harm or who they get in the way of. And so your vision is going to be very important to not hiding what it is that God gave you. The reason he hid the talent was because he had no vision. He had no vision. He had no vision. If you have no vision, you have nothing to cultivate. And when you have nothing to cultivate, instead of digging, you hide. So you start digging for the wrong reason. Oh, Lord Jesus. When your opportunities come that you've been praying for, what are you going to do?
Come on.
Come on. I'm coming down your street.
Yeah, that's real.
Because you're going to spend a whole bunch of time praying for stuff
yeah.
that God is saying, I want you prepared for.
Come on.
If you do not have a plan for your life, you have nothing to refer to when you start drifting.
That's real.
You ever start driving somewhere and all of a sudden forget where you're going?
Right.
Live a little longer. It's coming. If it ain't happened to you, it's coming, baby. And you find yourself, you're like, oh, Lord, I thought I was going to the store. I'm driving and went down the road. I'm too young for senior moments, but I have them. And I'm driving and I'm like, oh, God, where am I at? So your vision... Your vision, your plan is in place. Write the vision. Make it plain. And what you have to write is the revelation, not what you see.
Yeah.
Habakkuk had to write the revelation. I'm not jumping around. I'm right in the pocket. He had to write the revelation. There was two things that he saw. He had to write what God said, but he also had to write what he saw.
Yeah.
And God told him, what I said is at an appointed time. It, in the end, it's going to speak and it's not going to lie. Wait for it. Though it tarries, wait for it. So you have to write down your vision and your plan so that it's there for you when you get off track. Now, let me give you a few more principles here. Then I can go a little deeper. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you don't have a plan for your life, you have nothing to refer to when you get off track. So part of having a vision is to secure the answer, who the heck am I? You will never be able to implement your strategy successfully for your life if you don't have a clear idea of your own identity. And that identity comes from knowing who you are in God. Now, how did I get there? I was afraid that if you found out that I didn't have a plan.
Come on.
That if I failed.
Right.
That if I took your stuff and messed up.
Right.
And didn't do right by you. I know how you get down.
Yeah. That's real.
Well, if you know, if you knew I was going to spank you when I got home.
Right. Come on, keep it 100.
Come on, somebody. Yeah. Then why didn't you clean your room? All right, so, oh yeah, y'all got my scriptures up there. Okay, cool, we can work this thing then. So, I didn't know, I didn't turn around. Y'all didn't tell me, why didn't you say something? So, a few more things. I want you to distill from this as principle. These are just principles. I haven't even really got into the meat of my message because I'm talking about preparing to win. And to prepare to win, you have to have a vision, okay? So your vision is your plan. Then there has to be tactics connected to your plan, how you do what you do to get to where you're trying to go. They all had a vision except one, and the other two had tactics. Their tactics produced the result. Are you with me? So what that tells me is that they were all together seeing what each person got, but none of them told each other what they were going to do with it. So, write this down. It is true that you cannot tell your plan to everyone. Why? Because some people will not be able to handle it while you're making it. This is why your dream or your vision is worth writing down. So, I couldn't get this out this morning, my text devotion, and it was a little bit frustrating, but it's okay. I'm about to rectify the whole thing. But if God gave it to you, then it deserves to get done.
Come on.
Oh, my God. I could have ran around the building right there and left the room. If God gave it to you, then it deserves to get done. How can you take what he gave you and do nothing with it? Come on. Okay, I'm sorry. I got a little bit excited. So now let's drill down. I'm going to give you this one more principle, and we'll drill down on it. So why do I have to have vision? Why do I have to have a plan? Why do I have to have a strategy? Because your plan now is the material for your prayers.
Okay. Right, that's right.
I don't know what to pray because you ain't got no vision.
Right.
Oh, I'm preaching about y'all shop. The reason why you don't know what to pray for is because you have no plan. So you have to plan as if you have not prayed.
Right.
And then pray as if there is no plan, and God's going to show up in both. Okay. So now let's go back. Let's go back and let's drill down on how this whole thing unfolds. So did you get those principles? Are you sure? Okay. So let's talk about the source of your vision. The source of your vision. Number one, God gave it to you. God gave it to you. So when you take your plan and your strategy for whatever you want to accomplish in, let's say, 2020, don't wait for January 1. You ought to be implementing that right now, and you have to understand the source of your vision. Understanding the source of your vision helps you to really go after it, because vision can only come from purpose. Oh, Lord have mercy. Vision can only come from purpose. This is so rich. I can't give you all of it, and I want to so bad. When you understand vision comes from purpose, then you understand that God is the author of your vision.
Right.
He's the author of your vision. So the Bible says this. The Bible says Psalms 33:11. See if y'all can get that up there for me. Psalms 33:11. Okay? Because here's what you got to understand about God. God is a God of action based on purpose. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. Well, why you leave your kingdom? Because he's got something. And he's looking to find servants in the far country and give them what he has. Why? Because they got something. Oh, you missed it. You missed it. You missed it. You missed it. I'm going to go back. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. Why? He has goods. And he wants to take those goods and find servants. And the servants also have something. Ability.
That's good.
Oh, God. The word ability there is purpose. Come on, stay with me. So he's saying to them, you have purpose. Let me give you provision for your purpose. Because every vision has provision built on the inside. If God gave it to you, he's going to pay for it. Y'all miss where to shout. If God gave it to you, he's going to pay for it. They had a purpose, but they didn't have the goods for their purpose. So he goes, here's the goods. Oh, God, Lord Jesus. He says, here's the good. You got the right stuff.
Come on.
But you don't have all that it takes to make it happen. So I am going to invest in you. Don't waste my investment.
Come on.
What does God get in return from his investment in you? Oh, Jesus. I'm not leveling an accusation, so don't feel bad. I'm not talking. Y'all in here like, he talking about me. I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking. Come on, man. We just talking. So Psalms 33, did you get it? Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The word counsel is plan. So the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purpose of his heart, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. The purpose of his heart to all generations. I won't make you turn here because I'm going slow. Isaiah 14:24 says, the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely have I planned, so it will be. As I have purposed, so it will stand. Nothing can get in the way of what God purposes. Nothing. So, because nothing gets in the way to what God purposes, he creates you on purpose.
That's right.
Wow.
If you get this, you're going to be all right. I can promise you that. He created you on purpose.
That's right.
You're not an accident.
That's right.
You're here on purpose. So when God creates like that, right, then you have to understand that God created everything to fulfill purpose, right? So it doesn't matter what it is. I don't have time to go into it. But it doesn't matter what it is. God fulfilled everything on purpose. You can see Ephesians 1:4-5 for that. So God plans in advance. He does it in advance. Before the foundation of the world. So if he plans in advance, why are you last minute? I'm gonna put this on. We are making plans at the last minute and then saying, God bless it. Move, Jesus. God, move in it. Oh, God. And I know God is up there like, really? Really? Oh, they tripping. They big tripping. God planned in advance. He planned in advance all that you were born to do and accomplish.
Yeah.
In advance.
Come on.
That's why he, when he found the servants, he knew what to give them. Yeah. Oh, you didn't tell me. You didn't talk back to me. When he found the servants, he knew what to give them. To one he gave five, to another he gave two, and to one he gave one. What you think, he just picked it out the hat?
Come on. That's good. That's good.
I know what my servants are capable of.
Yeah.
Why? I know their purpose. Oh, God. Lord have mercy. And his, okay, so immediately, thank you, Holy Ghost. So immediately when we think about that concept, we start getting jealous.
Yes, sir. Talk about it.
If your purpose is one, you do not want the five.
Right.
Oh, you ain't talk back to me. You, the five will kill you. You're burying the one. You're burying one, talking about, God, give me five. And God going, really? And you mad that he got two and you got one. Stop that foolishness. And if you would work on your own purpose, you would have no time to be worried about somebody else's. Okay. So this is the source of your vision. So now let's go deeper. So since God created you on purpose, he created all that you were called to do and accomplish in advance, your purpose is already complete in God. Lord have mercy. The only reason you have it now is so it can manifest. I'm going slow because this is too rich to waste. It's too rich to waste. The only reason you got it now is so that you can see it. But to God, it's already done. Oh, God. In scripture, there are two things that God tells us that he does. So about his nature, how he does what he does. So he says, one, first, I declared the end from the beginning. So what that means is that, it's Isaiah 46:9-10. It was really kind of one of, I got like a top five. You know, you got a top five hip hop list. I got a top five scripture list. And Isaiah 46:9-10 is in my top five. Because he says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. And I say, my purpose will stand and I'll do all that I please. That's in my top five.
Yeah.
And my purpose will stand and I'll do all that I please. I'm like, God, you're a boss. Yeah, that's right, just
right,
crazy.
Right.
So he tells us, first, I establish the end before the beginning.
Right.
So this means that he finishes things first in the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
Then he goes back and start them in the physical.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the text. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling.
Yeah.
Where is he traveling from?
Yeah.
He's traveling from the kingdom of heaven to a far country.
Yeah.
I'm leaving the spiritual realm and I'm traveling to the physical realm to give to the physical realm what I already had in the spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. I already had it in the spiritual realm based on your purpose, and I'm carrying your goods based on your purpose from the spiritual realm to the physical realm. Now, if I was preaching, I would go touch your neighbor and say, God's looking for you. That's a little side note for all you preachers in the room. So that's what he does. And then the second thing he does, based on that scripture I just gave you, Isaiah 46:9-10, he reveals the end result of something when it is just beginning.
Wow.
Okay. Let's drill down a little hard. Let's just go a little further. So, in other words, God institutes a purpose, and then he creates a person. I'm about to run. Listen to what I just said. He institutes a purpose, then he creates a person to fulfill the purpose. Let us make man. Why? I need somebody to run the earth. Woo. So the earth was there before we got there. Oh, God, I'm preaching better yourself. So I have purpose, but I need a person. And then when I make the person, I'll give them dominion over purpose. Yeah. Fish of the sea, fowl of the air. Oh, y'all not talking back to me. Touch your name and say, you got something. Jesus. He institutes a purpose and then he creates someone, something to fulfill that purpose. That's why he's called Alpha Omega. Beginning in. So the problem now is with this type of strategy is that we do not recognize that when God starts something, he has already completed it in eternity. So God tell his strategy is to tell you what the end is. He declares the end from the beginning. And he says, this is how it's going to end. Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Here's how it's going to end. Go outside, son. Come out your tent. Look up. Count the stars. That's how great your seed's going to be. That's how it's going to end. Lord have mercy. And he shows him the ending. Oh, my Lord have mercy. Spoiler alert. Here's how it's going to end. He shows us how it's going to end. Ecclesiastes 3, I want to get this up because Solomon figured this out. Ecclesiastes 3, 11. Ecclesiastes 3 will be also on my list of top five. To everything there is a season and a purpose under heaven. It's a time for everything.
Yeah.
And in that timing, he talks about he makes everything beautiful in his time. And he's also set the world in eternity in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. I can't figure it out. Lord Jesus. So part of God's strategy is that you don't figure out how it's going to end, but he already told you what the end is. And he's so bad, you still can't figure it out. Oh, I'm preaching way better y'all shouting up here. So why does God do that, right? Because I don't want to go there. That might take you too deep down the rabbit hole. So he first tells you what the end of the matter is to be. Then he backs up and begins the process of fulfilling that end. You can see this all throughout creation. You can see it all throughout how he does what he does. So, to have a vision means to see something coming into view as if it were already there.
Wow.
Walt Disney had a vision to have a space that he could plus. And his strategy built on his wall, his desk, was called plussing it. He didn't want to create something that would be static. He wanted to last all throughout eternity, beyond himself. So he wanted to amuse families and kids for beyond his time span. So he built a strategy called plussing it. There's a famous recording of his voice talking to his staff about his strategy. That's why he built the amusement park. Because if you make a movie, the movie is over once people see it.
Right.
But if I make a amusement park, I could take components of the movie and make it a ride in the park. And I can keep recreating the park based on the vision. Plussing it. So what I need is a platform for this grand vision that I have. And in his vision, he wanted to have the first indoor roller coaster called Space Mountain. And he had this crazy idea, and his team said it wouldn't work. And so he said, but I already see it. He found the engineers, they figured out how to do it, and they built Space Mountain. He died before Space Mountain was finished. At the ribbon cutting, they said to Mrs. Disney, oh, Walt would have loved to have seen this. I'm so sorry he ain't here. And Mrs. Disney looked back at them and said, boo, he already saw it. That's why it's here.
That's why it's here.
If he would have never saw it, it would have never showed up. You got to have a vision that you see in your heart, because vision is not a function of your eyes. It is a function of your heart. Vision is insight based on foresight, built on hindsight. Vision is insight. It's insight with foresight based on hindsight. Recognizing it and activating it is where we find ourselves in the text. The man with the one talent never activated his vision. So he hit it. Gee, it's only 8:30. I'm preaching good. Yeah, we about to go home. So write this down. Write this down. Okay, this gonna bless you. This gonna bless you. So if I can see it coming into view as if it were already there, then God essentially completes things before he creates things. He doesn't create it and say it's complete. He completes it and then he creates it. Oh, Lord Jesus. So your beginning is proof of your completion. Oh, Jesus. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying just start, baby. Just start. Just start. Just start. Because once you start, the process starts happening. Yeah. And then you're going to start seeing something. And it's not going to be the whole thing. First, it's going to be the blade.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Then it's going to be the ear in the blade.
Right.
Yeah. Then it's going to be the full corn. Yeah. But you got to get started. You're holding on to something God gave you, and you don't know what to do with it. Activate your vision.
Yeah.
Activate your vision. Get started. I've quietly, because you can't tell everybody your plan. Quietly, I have been working, oh my God, for the last few years, quiet. I ain't telling nobody nothing, just working behind the scenes like a dog. Y'all ain't saying, I mean, I am getting it in. I'm barely sleeping. I am working. Boy, I'm activating my vision, and I'm pulling over here, and I'm pulling there, and I'm seeing the whole thing, and I'm plussing it. Because my vision is so grand, it lives beyond me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Your beginning is proof of your completion. So what does that statement mean? Come on, let's think. Come on. It means you're not an experiment. God doesn't allow you to start unless it's already completed. So he brings the completion from eternity into time. He brings the goods from the kingdom, which is eternal, into a far country, which is the physical realm, where there's time. And he brings what was completed in eternity into time and says, start. If you just put the seed in the ground, if you just get going, it's going to do in time what I've already done in eternity. So you need the time, oh God, so that what he already completed in eternity can catch up.
Amen.
That's why he built time. Okay, so stop telling yourself you ain't got time. The wonderful thing about time is that you can make it. Drop the mic. I ain't gonna drop my phone because it's expensive, but I'm gonna drop my tile.
That's good.
You can make time. What? You can make it. Not only can you make it, when you start using it for God, he redeems it. He redeems it for you. God says, I'll redeem the time for you if you start using it correctly. So the man that got one talent could have said, I need more time. Oh, he could have went to the master and said, I'm going to do something with it. I need some more time. It took me a little while to figure out who I was, and I forgot for a second, but I know who you really are. I just need a little bit more time. And if you give me a little bit more time, I'm going to go put it to work. But he kept it buried. Thank you. So he kept it buried. Touch your name and say, you got to go dig it up now. I know you buried it, but go dig it up before the master comes. You know what scares me to death? I don't, as a preacher, you know what scares me to death? To be quite honest, to be very candid, is to have to preach without his presence. No anointing, no power, no authority. I don't want to do that. I'll go get a job. I'm real tall. And in order for that to not to happen, I have to remember the source of my vision.
Come on.
I ain't even got to the other stuff. I'm just on the source of your vision. The source of your vision will determine your strategy. If you don't know where your vision comes from, how can you plan? Their production was based on who gave it to them. So the one with five came back and said, hey, I gave you, listen, you gave me five, I got you five more. Here's 10. He's excited. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hold on now. You enter into the joy of the Lord. Why? You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you rule over much. So what does that tell you? That tells you that what he gave you wasn't it.
Yeah.
Come on, church. Who am I talking to? He gave it to you to do something with it because he got something else for you. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. And if you would just use what God gave you, you could enter into what he really has for you. If it's one lesson I learned over these last 7 years, y'all know this story that I was going to quit at some point in time because y'all could be hard on a brother.
Real.
Y'all don't want to laugh at that. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Preaching is hard. Pastoring is hard. Doing this hard. And if you could pass a church, you can do anything because nobody has to come. There's no reason. There's no impetus. I can't incentivize you to come. I can't. There's nothing. Oh, y'all want to talk back to me. There's nothing there. But we come because we believe it's right.
Yeah.
So to do that, right, and to have to stand up against that, it's hard. And it's just, so I was battling my identity because I'm a business guy too, and I was struggling between the two. I was, Bill Gates was arguing with Mother Teresa in my mind, and Mother Teresa started losing because I got tired of being Teresa. Now, I ain't done, you never got to worry about me. I'm not, you know, God bless you if you did, just your issue, but homosexuality ain't mine. I'm just saying as an example and an analogy that Mother Teresa in my head, don't get me twisted. If your pastor ever falls, it ain't going to be for that. Just FYI. You need that public service announcement out this place. Ain't my issue. It's not my candy. I'm just saying. Okay? So we all got something. This is not my problem. Okay. So I'm sorry for the digression. I just had to make that clear. In my mind, the spiritual side of me was kicking the business side of me. And I didn't know how to conduct business and bless people at the same time.
Right.
It was confusing. And so I couldn't do product. I didn't want to sell nothing. I just wanted to bless people.
Right.
But to bless people, you need money.
Real. Real.
I found that out later. It's like, oh, we need some money. And I'm trying to figure it all out. And I didn't know. I didn't, and I didn't have nobody to help me. Because I was seeing the extremes of both.
Yes.
And there was no balance for somebody like me until God opened the door and showed me the end. So now I'm starting.
Yeah.
You get it?
That's good.
Now I'm starting. And as I'm starting now, I'm going, ooh, I need more time. Give me a little bit more time. Because now I know how to do it.
Right, right.
And honor both. So that the war in my head stops.
Yeah. Woo.
Okay, so I got 15 minutes. I can stop, or do you want me to keep going?
Keep going.
Okay. All right, two people say keep going, so I'm going to keep going. So here's the thing about vision. Vision is not about you. It's about God. The unproductive servant made it about him. When you start making it about you, you don't activate your vision.
Come on.
Because you think your vision is yours.
Right.
God gave it to you.
Yeah.
I had a dream. I'm not saying I had a dream. I'm saying maybe your vision came in a dream. I had a dream, or I had this idea. I was sitting down at the coffee shop, and God downloaded this idea, and I started to write it down. That wasn't you.
Real. Real.
Oh, boy. I know you all that in a bag of chips and everything, but that was something that God put there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden something activated that thing for you to start trying to materialize it, and you started getting this passion, this energy, and whenever you get that, that's that God factor. Yeah. That's God saying to you, I put something in you. Here it is.
Amen.
Here it is.
Amen.
Do something with it.
Yeah.
And you write it, how many notes you got jotted down? How many pieces of paper sitting there on your desk? Mm-hmm. How many notes you got from me preaching?
Yeah. Real.
That real. You ain't did not nothing with.
Real.
But just slapped your neighbor a high five. What you write it down for? Here it is. I used to write down notes. I was so hung for the word. I get it. I was so hung for the word. I used to, man, God, everything this, and I have a, here's what you need to know about your pastor. I have a memory. I can read some one time and recall it back to you right. immediately. This is why I'm able to preach without notes.
Right.
All right? But in I'm taking Einstein's approach to things that to keep my mind free for stuff that matters.
Right.
Because if I have access to it, then why am I working my brain so hard?
Right.
So if I can read it, just read it. I don't have to memorize it. So I used to do that, and I used to be hungry for the word. I used to write down everything. And then one day I went, you ain't used not near one of them things that you wrote down. What are you doing? And so I went back to my notes. I used to keep journals and books, and I compiled them into compartments of what they were talking about specifically, and they became reference material for vision.
Gotcha.
Just a thought. Something to go back to when I'm stuck. Or when I need to know how to get somewhere. Oh, I heard this already. Okay, so vision's about God. It's not about you. Okay. Thank you, God. So Proverbs 19. 21, many are plans of the man's heart, but it's the purpose of the Lord that prevails. So real vision is not a human invention. It's the desires that God imparts to us. It's the goods that he brings from the far country, traveling to a far country, that he brings from the kingdom. Wow. So I said vision is not a human invention. It's the desires that God imparts to us. So your vision is not your private view of your future. Lord Jesus. Your vision is not your private view of your future. It's the view of your future inspired by God for the benefit of somebody beyond you. So, when I asked you the question, what's your vision? It wasn't a trick question. You know already. Everybody in here knows their vision. There ain't nobody in here talking about, I ain't got no vision. Yes, you do. You just scared. He said it for me. You're afraid.
Jesus.
That's the problem. You got something. He already gave it to you.
Yeah.
You're afraid. I'm looking for my vision. I'm looking for my purpose. God institutes a purpose, then he creates a person.
That's good. That's good.
What's my purpose? Are you a person? If you are a person, then you do not have to look for your purpose.
Right.
Because your purpose is built within you.
Yeah.
What fires you up?
What
gives you passion?
Yeah.
What gives you drive?
Yeah.
What can you not wait to do? That's your purpose.
Yeah.
What will you be doing if nobody's looking?
Say so.
What would you do if nobody paid you?
That's right.
Your job ain't your purpose.
Yeah.
That just pays the bills.
Yeah.
It's just a job. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. When I preached the word of God, I would do this if you didn't show up.
Right.
I was preaching to the mirror.
Yeah.
No, you understand. When I got saved, like showing up, saved on fire, y'all think I'm joking? Y'all don't, see, some of y'all don't know the old Pastor Mike that used to climb over pews
yeah.
and lay hands on everything that was moving. Every service was a move of God. Oh, you don't want to talk back to him. It didn't matter what was going on. Somebody was getting healed today. I'd be all in the back. Y'all had said stepping on pews. We didn't even have pews yet. Folding chairs. Moving folding chairs. Ushers can't keep up. I'm standing on stuff every week. I'm too old for that right now. Ah, oh, climb on one of these chairs. I might just be there. I just stay right. Why? Why was I like that? Well, it was passion. What you saw was passion. It wasn't necessarily, the Bible says the spirit is subject to the prophet. I'm getting off track. But the Bible says the spirit is subject to the prophet. So it was my passion that provoked the spirit. I was so impassionate about helping people. I just wanted you healed and saved and delivered and set free. And I wasn't going to rest until you left here changed. And then I woke up. I woke up. Your vision is as close as your deepest desire. God says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Of your heart. Oh, here's another revelation in the text. God doesn't give you the desires of heaven. He's traveling with goods from the kingdom of heaven. And he gives to each one based upon their several ability. Purpose, desire.
Good.
It wasn't what heaven wanted, it was what they desired. So to get what you desire, you have to delight yourself in the Lord. To delight means to become pliable, workable. Can God work with you? Because he has a purpose, he needs a person. So can he work with you? Will you be adjustable, adaptable? The unproductive servant became rigid. He became rigid. He couldn't work with the master no more because he became afraid. Fear will paralyze you. And he became afraid. All right, I'm about to close this thing out. I know it's good. So here's the thing. So he got mad with him that he didn't produce nothing. And he says to him, you could have at least gave it to the exchangers so I could have got some interest off of it, at least, which tells me vision is much more than just interest. Ooh, Lord Jesus. So vision from God is something that has interest in it, but it's not just interest. So you could be interested in something, but not passionate about it. And it is frustrating to be in a relationship when somebody is interested, but not passionate. Love me or leave me alone. No, love me or leave me alone. Don't bother me if you ain't really, really all into me. If you want me for a quickie, leave me alone. If you want me for a moment, don't bother me. No, I'm worth too much. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. And that's what God is saying. Love me or leave me alone. Why are you walking with me like you interested, but you ain't got no passion about it?
Boy.
You wicked. Woo. And slow.
Hey, that's the word.
He's not punishing him for weakness. Weakness and wickedness are not the same thing. God really wants to use your weakness. It's your wickedness he can't deal with. Wow.
Wicked, not weak. It's a difference.
Oh, God, it got real quiet. Oh, Lord Jesus, that's scary. Y'all scared me. I'm going to stop. So he's not mad that he would have failed or messed up. That's why he said you could at least, I ain't got time to talk about exchanges, but you could at least went to exchanges and got some interest off. You could have just flipped some money. You could have moved some money and just got a little bit of interest. In other words, you could have went to South Africa real quick and you could have monitored where the money rate is, and you can see that money there is 10-1. You could at least went there and did move my currency. That's why it's called currency, because it moves. You could at least did that. You could at least looked at what the exchange rate was for the goods I gave you, and then went to the exchanges when the market was up, and then took what I gave you and made a little bit of interest on it. But you didn't, because you don't have no passion. You don't care. That is what makes you wicked.
That's good. Keep it real.
That you're hiding. When I'm done. I'm closed. I'm sorry, because I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to close with this. No, I'm going to close this, and I'm going to close. No, I'm done. I'm closed. So we know he's casting the outer darkness, and we know the end result is ugly. It's ugly. Nobody likes the end result of that story. And I ask God, God, why are you doing like that? That's harsh. And God said to me, because he didn't care. He didn't care. I said, oh, Lord. David was a man after God's own heart because he cared.
Right.
He was weak.
Right.
He wasn't wicked.
Right.
That's real.
Yeah. That's good.
He cared who he hurt
based
on his actions.
Yeah.
If you don't activate your vision, you're hurting someone. Because in your vision is help for somebody else. I'm closing, I'm done. I hope that blessed you. I'm just gonna tell this little story. I'll tell this little story while you go ahead and get your arms ready. I'm really done. Y'all ain't squeezing nothing else out of me. I'm getting that. When I met my now mentor, and when I say spiritual father, I do not say that loosely. No, I need you to understand. Like I will straight stab you over Bishop Jakes. Like, no, I just dive on your neck if you say something off or look off. I'm serious. I'll just because that's how much he means to me. We are very close. Not just close, we're very close. And when I met him, I was afraid. I was terrified. Not of him. I knew I was hiding what God gave me. I knew that God was upset with me. I knew it. I knew it. It's hard to pray. It's hard to preach. He would show up because he loved me. And I started to care. I always cared, but I cared so much that when God opened that door and we met the way we did, and he sat me down, he got my car. Okay, let's go back and help you frame this. Thomas Dexter Jakes, Bishop T.D. Jakes, like the equivalent of Billy Graham, got in my car. He's like right there.
Right.
And I'm driving him. And we're talking. And we get back to his hotel, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to drop him off. His team's going to take him from there, and that'll be the encounter, and it's over. We just met. He goes, come on. You know, he said, come on. And I go inside. And then we get in the elevator. I'm like, oh, snap, we're going upstairs. And we go up to his room, and he sits me down. And he says, you know what? I said, what? I thought he was about to say some revelatory knowledge, prophetic, deep word. Mm-hmm. And he cut his teeth, and he looked at me, and I swear I saw my daddy. Because my father would do this, and he pointed his finger at me. He says, you know what? You're a thief. And I said, oh. I said, what? I didn't steal nothing. And I sit there, I'm like, my eyeballs are this big, and I'm like, what? And he's a big man, and he's standing over me, and he says, you're a thief. I said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I said, well, you could have told me that in the car. I could have dropped you off. Yeah. You could have kept it stepping. You're a thief. I said, I don't understand. He says, you're robbing generations. That makes you a generational thief. So you're not just stealing on one time. You're stealing from eternity. See, that's what fathers do. And he wore me out. I think I got in his room at 2 o'clock. I left at midnight. And it wasn't no love fest. It was to midnight. And I sat there and took every last bit of it. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, now get your butt up and go out here and use what God gave you. I left. I was sore when I left, but I left. See, you got to care. You got to care that God gave you something for somebody. So it's not just about getting rich or having money. What is money for?
Right.
What is it for?
Right.
What is it really for? How many shoes can you buy?
Right. Real.
Okay, so you have to take what God gave you and not bury it. And go and use it for the glory of God. And when you're done being faithful over that, he says, now look at what I really got for you. I want to make you rule over much. And I pray that you take this little message and you start thinking about your vision and your strategy and your tactics and what God wants you to do. And you go do something with it. You don't just sit. You don't just join the church and soak up all this goodness. Get active. Oh, yeah, I got real quiet. You're a thief. You're a thief. You're robbing somebody. Don't do that. Get active. Use it. Do something with it. Touch somebody's life. Help somebody. Start that business. Write that book. Do it. Whatever it is. And don't write the book and then ask me to sell it for you.
Right.
I'm going to say that again. Don't write the book and ask me to sell it. I'm not selling your book. It's your vision.
That's good.
Do you understand that? Stop, don't do that. Stop doing stuff like that. Whatever God orders, he pays for.
Yeah.
And it could be that the reason why what you're doing is not flourishing is because you've picked the wrong audience. Okay. All right. Get your offerings ready. I'm done. I'm finished. Because y'all going to sit there and just soak this up. I see what y'all try to do. You ain't going to do me like that. Come on. Y'all going to say, if I sit here quiet long enough, he'll get going again.